All righty. Let me pray again, and we will take a look into the Scriptures here. Father, again, as we come to Your Word, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your Spirit, and I do pray again You'd help me to rightly divide Your Word, correctly handle it as we speak, and give us all understanding and insight that we would please You, honor You in this time. Amen. All righty. Well, Paul and Peter. Interesting, you know, the letter to Titus was written by Paul, and he talks about elders. 1 Timothy, written to Timothy, in kind of a similar situation, spends more time even than Titus talking about elders. But he's not the only one that talks about it. Peter also, in his letter, and Peter wrote his letter to churches that were scattered a large area over what is now Turkey. And he had sent a letter there and addressed some of his comments in chapter 5 of his letter to the elders of those churches. And it's interesting to see the similarities, the same things that Paul and Peter both addressed in their letters and similar terminology that they used. So we're going to look first at some of the terms and look and see how they're used a little bit, and then some of the duties and tasks. So Peter says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Three terms there that I put in all caps in case you didn't notice that. Elders, shepherds, and overseers. They, three words there. The elders is a word, this ring a bell with anybody, presbyteros. Does that sound like any word you know? That's where the Presbyterian church took their name. The Greek word for elders was the presbyteros. Shepherds, same word, is translated pastor one time. In most translations, pastor is the Latin translation of that Greek word. The Latin word for a shepherd is pastor. And then overseers, episkopos is the word, epi is over, and skopos is to scope something out. So episkopos, episcopal church, takes its name from that Greek word. But they all are included in the same passage. He refers to, talks to the elders, calls himself a fellow elder, and then says, you elders, shepherd the flock and oversee the flock. Two words of instruction, and we'll look at those a little more. So it seems in this and another passage I'll show you in a minute that elders equals shepherds equals overseers. King James translates this word bishop. So when you see bishop in King James, it's overseer in most other translations. So I think, as far as I know, King James is the only one that still uses bishop for that word. But it's the overseers. So elders, shepherds, overseers, all referring to the same office, though different in different emphasis in the different words and the way they're used. But Paul uses the same terminology when he called, goes to the beach, calls to have the elders from the church at Ephesus to come meet him, says the same thing, sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church in verse 17. Then down in verse 28, he tells them, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So the same thing. All three words are used again in the same passage to signify the same office. So Peter and Paul agree in that sense about what that is referring to. So we'll look a little bit then, what are the functions? Those three words, the shepherding tends to focus on the idea of the pastoral, the shepherding care, the tending to the needs. It includes feeding. It's not limited to feeding sheep. But that's the shepherding. When that word is used, that's kind of the emphasis there, is the tending and feeding of the flock. The overseer has the emphasis relating to the authority and the leadership of those in that position. And then the word elder bespeaks mainly the spiritual maturity and the office itself of those people. And in general, I think this could all be summarized then by using the term of pastoral leadership. That's what the elders are to be involved in and are to be dedicated, devoted to, laboring hard at being good pastoral leaders. So we're going to spend the bulk of our time remaining here looking at some of these concepts and some of the idea of the eldership, the leadership, the tending and the oversight will come in with this, but use this as an outline to talk about some of the specific ways the elders are talked about. So the shepherds are meant to lead, feed, care for, and protect the flock. And there are multiple passages that talk about that, but in general, that's what a shepherd was supposed to do, a shepherd who's looking after four-legged sheep. You know, they lead them, they feed them, they care for them, and they protect them. And very similar concepts that we'll see for the elders in the church. So first of all, we will look at leading. How do the scriptures tell us that elders are supposed to be involved in leading the church? Here's one of the passages. 1 Timothy 5:17, the phrase is, the elders who direct the affairs of the church. It's the same word that's used in 1 Timothy 3 where the idea talks about a guy needing to manage his own family. That's the same word here for directing the affairs of the church. Same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 where the congregation again has said, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord. That's the same idea of directing its leadership. And this is the way that word is translated in some other translations, just to give you a feel of the flavor of it. The word literally means to stand first. And so the idea is that they are to be first in leadership over the church. Other translations say superintend, preside over, rule over, and lead. Any of those phrases have any kind of a negative connotation? I probably would not prefer the rule over. And there are plenty of scriptures that will talk about the character of one who is in this position, who is to be a humble servant. You know, ruling over tends to give me that feeling of lording it over, which Peter directly prohibits elders from having that kind of an attitude. But that is one of the ways that it's translated at times. But that word for lead or to direct the affairs of the church. I heard of a man who was speaking to the elders of the church where he was a pastor and said that he had been hired to run the church. And you know, you think about the passage like this where it says the elders are to direct the affairs of the church, and that sounds to me, I mean, I don't know that I would like that phraseology very well any better than I do ruling, you know, running the church. Maybe the directing the affairs sounds a little less in your face or domineering. But it would seem from these passages that that would be a contradiction of the Scripture when the elders are charged with that responsibility of directing the affairs of the church. But having said that, that doesn't mean that a church cannot or does not have one person in a more prominent role, providing teaching and the bulk of the teaching in a lot of cases, and providing some of that oversight of the day-to-day affairs of the church. I don't see that prescribed in the Scriptures saying you must have someone in that position, but I don't see it prohibited. So the concept of a church, the idea of being elder-led, I think, causes fear in some people. I think probably a lot of confusion for other people, maybe misunderstanding just that term. But I think the Scriptures are clear that a church is to be led by elders, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not one man who is in a more prominent, fairly traditional role of providing the majority of the teaching and oversight and direction of the day-to-day affairs. But it does mean, from my understanding of the Scriptures, that that person is one member of team elders leading the church, as opposed to being in authority over the elders. So that's some ideas about shepherds' leading duties. How does feeding fit in? What's that mean? What's that look like? Well, again, the same passage in 1 Timothy 5:17, where he says talks about elders who direct the affairs of the church. He also talks about elders whose work is preaching and teaching. The word preaching there literally is word, logos. But in the context, it's felt that it should be the idea of a public teaching, and probably does include exhortation and encouragement as opposed to strictly doctrinal teaching. But there are some elders whose work is preaching and teaching. So it's responsibility of the elders to be certain that there is quality preaching and teaching, and that the body is being adequately nourished, challenged, exhorted, encouraged from the Word. And Titus, earlier in the passage we were in last week, talking about the elders, uses a terminology that they are to encourage, the elders are to encourage others by sound doctrine, and to refute those who oppose it. So encourage others by sound doctrine, refute those who oppose it. I think those things also fall under the heading of feeding the flock. And there, I think, is a pretty strong emphasis and a need in the Scriptures for the flock to be fed. I would also say that doesn't mean that this is the only time, the only place that you ought to be being fed. Peter, also in his letter, says that we all are to be like newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word to grow. Babes desire the milk about every 2 hours. We should be continuously seeking God and continuously reading, studying, memorizing, meditating Scripture on our own, not dependent solely on what you hear here. And I would say, along in the lines of the leadership and how that fits in a little bit with the teaching, I would also say that we would have a duty to try to be certain that people are being adequately fed, that you have opportunities. Opportunities here, opportunities in small groups, wherever else we would see a need arise, that it would be our duty, responsibility to be sure that all that opportunity is available. Lead, feed, care for. How do elders care for sheep? 1 Timothy And he's talking about the qualifications for an elder, and he says, if someone doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? The elders are charged with personal care for people in the church. Proverbs 27 says this about shepherds. We should know well the condition of our flock. Pay attention to the herds. We ought to be in close enough touch with people that we know where the needs are and that we are making sure that needs are being met. We're providing opportunities for those needs to be being met. Titus 1:7 uses a little bit different terminology where he refers to an overseer as being God's steward. And the steward was one who superintended over all the affairs of a man's house, took care of everything that was involved in taking care of a man's house, including, you know, the money, the meals, the cleaning, the health of all the people in the household. A steward was involved in lots of things. So it's clear that we are to be responsible for the care. Again, I would say that doesn't mean that we are the only ones who are caring. But if there's someone who is being neglected, we need to be aware of that. And we need to take steps to be sure that person's needs are being met. Similar to what we see in Acts 6 when the elders became aware that the widows, some of them, were not being fed. They were not the ones who went and fed them, but they made a plan and made sure that they got fed. So it's our responsibility to be sure that the needs are being cared for. And I think both material and spiritual needs. Lastly, shepherds are called to protect the flock. Some other passages talk about keeping watch. In Acts 20:28 again, where Paul is giving his farewell instructions to the elders from the church at Ephesus, and he says to them, keep watch over yourselves. I need to watch myself. I need to watch my fellow elders. And keep watch over all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Keeping watch over the flock involves attention to the teaching and attention to the input that people are getting from various sources. And we are also responsible to be sure that the teaching that's going on here is not teaching error, and responsible to refute error if and when we see it. That passage, Hebrews 13, says that your leaders keep watch over your soul. A big part of protecting the flock is keeping watch over them. It is easy, like someone has said, you're only one generation away from heresy at any time. And we are responsible to maintain the doctrinal accuracy and purity of the body here. And I would say it also would include the admonition from 1 Thessalonians 5:12, elders are to admonish when needed. And the word there for admonish is the idea of kind of sitting down, using words, counseling someone. You know, someone may be going off track a little bit, may just be someone's personal needs and cares. It's not necessarily a harsh thing, but to help correct error, but you're doing it using words of counsel with someone. And again, this is obviously tied to the concepts above of teaching sound doctrine and refuting bad doctrine, one of the primary ways of protecting the flock. So that, in a nutshell, is what I see of the primary responsibilities of the elders as it's taught in the Scripture. And I'm going to take a few minutes now to try to kind of bring you guys up to speed as to where we are at as the elders in our thoughts and plans for the direction. Again, we acknowledge that we have been slow, but a couple of verses here that I think speak to where we're at now since our meeting 4 days ago, Wednesday night. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." We didn't actually hear audible words, voices behind us, but similar concept in Acts 15, when they needed to make a decision, when they came to a decision, it said it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church. So we're going to talk about the decision that we have come to. Actually, it's a decision that we have confirmed from previous days. It seemed good to the elders. We don't have apostles anymore, but it seemed good to the elders, and I think it will seem good to the whole church when you hear what our thoughts and direction is. We are confirming our earlier decision that we had talked about just at the time Jim Moore departed our midst, that we will indeed be seeking to find a man for a pastoral position here at Wichita Bible Church. Hold your applause. We have made some preliminary contact with a couple of seminaries and getting some feedback and input there, but we will be pursuing a lot of different avenues in the coming weeks to try to locate the right person for that position. I want to kind of give you an idea just what we're sort of thinking about this person for this position. We'd like someone who's really gifted in teaching. And would expect that that person would be doing the majority of the teaching on Sunday mornings, particularly preaching and teaching. We probably want someone younger than we are, partly so they'll last longer than we do, but partly because of this, we would like someone with some energy, someone who's outgoing, someone who's winsome, and would be able to serve as a good ambassador for Wichita Bible Church, for people who come in as guests, for our contact with the neighborhood around us, and so on. And we think that it would be good if we could find someone who is gifted with evangelism. That is a woeful shortcoming for us as elders, for our congregation at large. We're not looking for someone to come in to do the evangelism for us. We all are called to be sharing the gospel. But I think if we have someone with a gift of evangelism, part of that giftedness is teaching us, encouraging us, modeling for us, helping organize opportunities to help us all grow in our evangelistic efforts. So those were the things that, kind of in a nutshell, we think that we're going to be looking for. We serve a big God. When we look at this and look at the kinds of things that we've been talking about, Wednesday night in our meeting, I don't know how many times it was said something to the effect of, "That's impossible. We won't be able to find someone like that." And, you know, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So, I would like to ask you all to pray for us. Thank God for His love for each of us. Thank God for His love for the church. God did not leave the churches in Titus or on Crete alone, But he sent Titus there to help get things established and to get the leadership in place. Thank God that he does love us and doesn't want to leave us flailing in the wind. And please pray for us as we seek this position. Pray for that person, whoever that is. You know, we may get a phone call this afternoon. You know, and said, I heard that you were needing someone and I just moved to town and I would love to talk with you about that. Again, we serve a big God. He could do that. And trust God with His timing. And I would like to thank you all for your indulgence and your grace to us. You know, it's really going on 2 years since we really began seriously rethinking our leadership here at Wichita Bible Church. So appreciate that there haven't been stones or tomatoes or anything thrown at us. And we do continue to welcome your input and feedback as we go on down. We're, you know, still step by step as we go down this path. So feel free to ask any of us any questions and call us, meet with us, whatever you want. We have no secret agenda. We have nothing that we can't tell you about in this regard. So let me pray. We'll close and trust these things into God's hands here. Father, we do thank you for your teaching that you have given us about your church and particularly your love for us individually and your love for each of your local bodies. And we do commit these things to you. We look to you as a handmaiden looks to the hand of her mistress. Look expectantly to you and wait on you to answer us. Keep us close to you in our own hearts and lives and sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All righty. Well, enjoy your week and we'll see you all again. Oh, wait, it's only 10:15. I have another hour. No. We'll see you all next week.